Udobo bhagavate vasudevaya. Udobo bhagavate vasudevaya. Udobo bhagavate vasudevaya.
We'll do 32 of the class tonight.
Tabya mishat shvani misheshu nishidyamana.
Tabya mishat shvani misheshu nishidyamana.
Swarhat. Tamahyapihare pratihara pabhyam.
Swarhatamahyapihare pratihara pabhyam.
Uchu surita madridrikshata bamba ishat.
Uchu surita madridrikshata bamba ishat.
Kamarujena sahasata upa plutaksha.
Kamarujena sahasata upa plutaksha.
Tabhya mishatsvani misheshu nishidhyamana.
Tabhya mishatsvani misheshu nishidhyamana.
Swarhatamahyapihare pratihara pabhyam.
Swarhatamahyapihare pratihara pabhyam.
Uchu surit. Tamadidrikshata bhanga ishat.
Uchu sivitta madidrikshata bhanga ishat.
Kamaru jena sahasata upaplutaksha.
Kamaru jena sahasata upaplutaksha.
By those two porters.
By those two porters.
Mishatsu.
Mishatsu.
While looking on.
While looking on.
Adibisheshu.
Adibisheshu.
Demigods living in Vaikuntha.
Demigods living in Vaikuntha.
Nishidyamanaha.
Nishidyamanaha.
Being forbidden.
Being forbidden.
Suarhattamaha.
Suarhattamaha.
By far the fittest persons.
By far the fittest persons.
He api.
He api.
Although.
Although.
Hare.
Hare.
Of Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Of Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Pratihara pabhyam.
Pratihara pabhyam.
By the two doorkeepers.
By the two doorkeepers.
Uchuhu.
Uchuhu.
Said.
Said.
Surittama.
Surittama.
Most beloved.
Most beloved.
Didrikshita.
Didrikshita.
Eagerness to see.
Eagerness to see.
Bhange.
Bhange.
Hindrance.
Hindrance.
Ishat.
Ishat.
Slight.
Slight.
Kama anujena.
Kama anujena.
By the younger brother of lust.
By the younger brother of lust.
Anger.
Anger.
Sahasa.
Sahasa.
Suddenly.
Suddenly.
Te.
Those great sages.
Upapluta.
Upapluta.
Agitated.
Agitated.
Aksha.
Aksha.
Eyes. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. When the Kumaras, although by far the fittest persons, were thus forbidden entrance by the two chief doorkeepers of Sri Hari, while other divinities looked on. Their eyes suddenly turned red because of anger, due to their great eagerness to see their most beloved master Sri Hari, the Personality of Godhead. Purport. According to the Vedic system, a sannyasi, a person in the renounced order of life, is dressed in saffron-colored garments. This saffron dress is practically a passport for the mendicant and sannyasi to go anywhere. The sannyasi's duty is to enlighten people in Krishna consciousness. Those in the renounced order of life have no other business but preaching the glories and supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the Vedic sociological conception is that a sannyasi should not be restricted. He is allowed to go anywhere and everywhere he wants, and he is not refused any gift he might demand from a householder. The four Kumaras came to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana. The word Sudittama, best of all friends, is important. As Lord Krishna states in the Bhagavad Gita, he is the best friend of all living entities. Suridam sarvabhutanam. No one can be a greater well-wishing friend to any living entity than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is so kindly disposed toward everyone that in spite of our completely forgetting our relationship with the Supreme Lord, he comes himself, sometimes personally, as Lord Krishna appeared on this earth, and sometimes as his devotee, as did Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And sometimes he sends his bona fide devotees to reclaim all the fallen souls. Therefore, he is the greatest well-wishing friend of everyone. And the Kumaras wanted to see him. The doorkeeper should have known that the four sages had no other business, and therefore to restrict them from entering the palace was not apt. In this verse it is figuratively stated that the younger brother of desire suddenly appeared in person when the sages were forbidden to see their most beloved personality of Godhead. The younger brother of desire is anger. If one's desire is not fulfilled, the younger brother anger follows. Here we can mark that even great saintly persons like the Kumaras were also angry, but they were not angry for their personal interests. They were angry because they were forbidden to enter the palace to see the personality of Godhead. Therefore, the theory that in the perfectional stage one should not have anger is not supported in this verse. Anger will continue even in the liberated stage. These four mendicant brothers, the Kumaras, were considered liberated persons, but still they were angry because they were restricted in their service to the Lord. The difference between the anger of an ordinary person and that of a liberated person is that an ordinary person becomes angry because of his sense desires are not fulfilled, whereas a liberated person like the Kumaras becomes angry when restricted in his discharge of duties for serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the previous verse, it has been clearly mentioned that the Kumaras were liberated persons. Vidit Atma Tattva means one who understands the truth of self-realization. One who does not understand the truth of self-realization is called ignorant. But one who understands the self, the super-self, their interrelation, and activities in self-realization is called Vidit Atma Tattva. Although the Kumaras were already liberated persons, they nevertheless became angry. This point is very important. Becoming liberated does not necessitate losing one's sensual activities. Sense activities continue even in the liberated state. The difference is, however, that sense activities in liberation are accepted only in connection with Krishna consciousness, whereas sense activities in the conditioned stage are enacted for personal sense gratification. The four Kumaras were used not to have any restriction in their movements. They were free to go anywhere and everywhere. And Prabhupada explains that this is the Vedic standard. A sannyasi, and these are great sages who are as good as any sannyasi, is allowed to go anywhere. Similia Brahmana also is not under the same law as the rest of the citizens. He is not subordinate to the government. He's superior to the government, a Brahmana, any Brahmana. The rulers have to offer respects to the Brahmanas, and they cannot restrict the Brahmanas in the same way as they restrict the other citizens. If a Brahmana is criminal, if he's negligent in his duties, then he can be corrected, but not with the same severity of other citizens. There's punishment for Brahmanas who are criminal. But Brahma Bandhur Nahantavyaha, even someone who's just a family member of a Brahman, who himself has no proper Brahminical training and is displaying the opposite of Brahminical qualities, still, because he's by birth a Brahman, he should not be killed. You can exile a Brahman. If you have to, you can take away his property and exile him, if he's really bad. But you should never kill a Brahman. Brahma Bandhur Nahantavyaha. So Brahmins have much less restriction in their movements and so on. A Vaishnava, a sannyasi, should be indulged. He should be allowed to go wherever he wants. And if he asks for charity, you should give. A sannyasi, when he visits the grihasthas, he may ask for something, and the grihasthas are obliged to give. So, for example, Lord Nityananda's father was visited by a sannyasi who asked for his son, and he was obliged to give. He would have become irreligious if he had refused or even hesitated. So it broke his and his wife's heart, but they gave away Lord Nityananda as a brahmachari disciple on the request of a sannyasi. Some stranger, they don't know who he was. Prabhupada says that sannyasis generally, their only business is to preach the glories and supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's the way it is supposed to be. But the sannyasa order has been polluted by the Mayavad influence. Most of the sannyasis in Kali Yuga have become out and out impersonalists, and they're preaching what is contrary to the glories of the Supreme Lord. They're preaching what is offensive to the Supreme Lord. Even when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to take sannyas, he had to take sannyas in the Mayavad order, Ekadandi sannyas, because the Tridandi sannyas was hardly practiced at all. There weren't many Tridandi sannyasis around. So one reason was that he didn't have a guru available. Of course, Madhavendra Puri, he took his Harinam initiation from Ishwara Puri, who was a Tridandi sannyasi. But when it came time for him to take sannyas, and he went to Katwa, he met Keshava Bharti. Anyway, Keshava Bharti is his eternal devotee. Therefore, even though he was externally a Mayavadi, Lord Chaitanya superficially also became a Mayavadi sannyasi. But actually, it was a loving reciprocation between him and his eternal devotee, Keshava Bharati. But it shows how prominent, how thoroughly the sannyasa order has been polluted in Kali Yuga, that it's mostly Mayavadis. You see it in Vrindavan. They don't come here to Govardhan so much, for some reason.
There are many in the...
Mayavadis where?
In the ashram, whatever you call
which
it.
Which one?
Near here. And just around the corner.
Mayavadi ashram?
Yeah.
I don't know. We got Ramanandis and unidentifiable sadhus, but not hardcore Mayavadis so much. Not the Mayavadi sannyasis with the sticks. Then we see in hordes marching down the streets in Vrindavan all the time. They've got dozens of ashrams, and they're visiting. It's part of their circuit. The Mayavadis, the Advaitavadis, have a certain circuit of holy places they visit. The bus routes correspond to that. You can take the bus from here in the morning, at 5:30 in the morning, from here directly to Hardwar, because that's the sadhu route.
Yeah.
So they go to Vrindavan, not so much Govardhan, but Vrindavan's on their route. So all the Mayavadis show up in Vrindavan, and they have their ashrams there. Very prominent. Everything's become polluted in Kali Yuga. Still, a sannyasi has to be respected. You know, externally, he has to be shown respect, even if he's a Mayavadi.
Ken Prabhupada talks about
anger. That anger doesn't disappear in liberation. Of course, it has to be. You know, there is anger used for Krishna's service. You have to be specially empowered. Oh, watch out, Greg. You knocked the wires over. You have to be specially empowered to use anger in Krishna's service. Hanuman, Bhima, they were specially empowered to use anger. Krishna, go on, Mohan, you're knocking the wires over. An acharya like Srila Prabhupada, he certainly, you know, you've read in the transcriptions of Prabhupada's conversations and so on. Devotees who were present, his disciples, immediate disciples, they saw it face to face, Prabhupada's anger. Some of them were recipients of it. Prabhupada could get very angry, but that was for the betterment of his disciples. He was like a father, uses punishment toward the son. He's not over lenient. Spare the rod and spoil the child. So using anger like that is part of your service. Of course, there's also transcendental anger. There's, you know, the bhavas of irshya and rosha. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about using, in the material world, using anger for your service, not for your own purposes, not because you've lost control of your senses, but in control, just like a kshatriya. He's told you have to fight this battle. The enemy is attacking. He doesn't have anything against the enemy. They were their neighbors. You know, 3 days ago they were the neighbors. Now they're invading. So we have to go and kill them in the battlefield. But there's no personal bad feelings. You may be fighting against someone who's been your lifetime friend, but you're on the battlefield. You have to fight, and you don't fight daintily. You use your anger. You know, you have to use your weapons with the intention of killing. And that's not done in a peaceful mood. So just like, but that's, without losing control of your senses, you can use anger. If you're well established in the mode of passion, others who don't have any control of the mode of passion, they get angry and they lose it completely. They just descend immediately into the mode of ignorance as soon as they get angry. And they can't effectively fight, and they can't control their senses as soon as they get angry. But a kshatriya, a nobleman, can use anger in the Lord's service or in the service of the state for punishing the evildoers and for fighting the enemies. Similarly, a preacher, without losing control of his senses, can chastise, can find fault and express very sharply what he sees, honestly. But he does it without bad feelings, without any inimical feelings. He does it out of compassion and love for the person that he's chastising. When that proper attitude is there, then it's not inappropriate. And the honest person will accept that chastisement. Similar to a surgeon is doing violence to his patient with cutting his belly open with a knife. If someone did that to me suddenly on the street, we better lock the door. That's externally violence. It looks like violence, but it's actually... Okay, any questions or comments? No, they may break in more. Anyway, I think you're going to have to go out and play with them, Bert. No, come on, they're playing holy.
All right, Krishna. That's Rishi? Any questions or comments?
So, in general, we say that sannyas or austerities are not the qualifications to enter the spiritual world of the seeker, supreme personality of Godhead. Like in that story, the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when one brahmachari wanted to see him, he was eating fruits and milk, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refused him. But now,
find out who it is, and then the parent can pay for fixing the door. This is okay, fine.
But here we can see that Prabhupada in the purport, he says that sannyasi is allowed to enter everywhere, but in this case, he is a spiritual world. This is valid, I understand, as far as I understand.
Where's the contradiction? It's not that sannyasi is the spiritual qualification in itself, although by practicing sannyas and being free from sex attachment, one is making a lot of progress toward liberation. It doesn't accomplish liberation in itself, but it Prabhupada says 50% of the job. Okay, that is true. But this is different. We're not talking about what the spiritual qualification for getting entrance into Vaikuntha is. We're talking about the social conventions, that a sannyasi should not be restricted in his movements by anybody, in the material world either.
Yeah, in the material world, sure. But in the spiritual world, there is no social, they are free, they are beyond this, no? In a sense.
Well, it's not that anybody can march into Vaikuntha. I'm a sannyasi, let me in.
Yeah, so what I'm telling you, and here on that basis, Srila Prabhupada explains that because sannyasi cannot be restricted, so they should be allowed to enter. But isn't it that?
Well, then if a sannyasi wanted to come in, they'd give him a guided tour and send him on his way. Let him in Vaikuntha for a short time. But he can't stay. Nobody can stay unless he's earned liberation. We're talking about someone's a sannyasi, but he's not liberated. And by his mystic power, did you save me one piece?
What?
Did you save me one piece? Maybe they can enter. If we're going by the principle that by rules of hospitality, see, it's two different things. They're the social custom of hospitality. If it's universal, so in Vaikuntha also you should be shouldn't be inhospitable, so you have to. So according to social custom, you should let a sannyasi enter. But that's lower than the spiritual the absolute principles of who can actually get entrance into Vaikuntha. So if the doorkeepers are going to be, disobey the social customs, then they'll let the sannyasi in for a peep. He can come in and take a look. Give him a visitor's pass. But he won't be able to stay. Durvasa Muni went there. Other sannyasis, went into Vaikuntha, but they only stayed a short time. The social principle is not the highest principle. And if allowing sannyasi unrestricted movement, that's a social principle.
Sometimes, Gokul and Munch would say that the sannyasi who came to take was Sankaranya.
Was Lord Chaitanya's elder brother. Okay.
But,
otherwise, he's not identified.
Yeah, he's not identified. Madhavananda was saying he couldn't find any. Shastric reference to that, was trying to find something that
couldn't find a reference for it.
And he's saying that, that when it's like Narayan Maharaj, they say, come on, that's impossible. And then when Nityananda is 20 years old, then, Lord Chaitanya, roughly.
Lord Chaitanya is 20 years old, His brother is less than 20 years older.
Yeah, well, we always get the impression that the sannyasi was like...
He's older? An older sannyasi? I don't know. Is there an indication... Indication in Chaitanya Bhagavat that it was an old sannyasi?
No.
Yeah,
I don't think it says
that. Just says it was sannyasi.
But I mean, if Lord Nityananda was a boy, then the sannyasi, you know, Sankaranya wouldn't have been older than Lord Nityananda. And that's the argument that Narayan Maharaj presents. So
yes. Okay.
I just wonder if you had anything.
No. If I find out, I'll let you know, but I can take a stand on that.
Yeah, sure. Just going on a chance. I was going to ask also if sannyasis are not restricted in their movements, but at the same time, they have small, like, innovation across the sea. Sannyasis should have.
Yeah, well, see, that's their sadhana regulation. Yeah. If they want to cross the sea anyway, then they shouldn't be stopped at the port. You know, they shouldn't be, you know, no one should demand a visa from them.
Right.
Yeah. But then, you know, if their regulation says you're not supposed to cross the sea, that they should impose. They should, you know, that's the restriction they should impose on themselves.
Oh, okay. But is
there some particular reason for that? Why is it okay? I don't know where that is. That may just be in the Dharma Shastras. You know, that may be a smarter regulation. Yes, because India is the civilized place and every else is barbarian. So anyone who goes outside, that's sannyasi, a Brahmin, nobody should, you know, if you go outside of India, you become a Valencia. You become corrupted by going outside, by even stepping outside of India. That's smarter regulation.
Yeah.
And also was violated. We had plenty of... in the Middle Ages, at least, merchants went outside of India and established, you know, trade with Southeast Asia and so on. So it wasn't strictly obeyed anyway. And we had Brahmanas, you know, going to Thailand and Burma and other places. Uh-huh.
I saw when we were sailing through the books, there was one book called Survey of the Puranas.
Yes.
Have you
gone through that before? No, I've only glanced at it. You can look at it and see. I don't know how reliable it is.
Yeah.
It may be incomplete.
Yeah.
But if it's based on things that the Puranas say, and doesn't go into wild speculation, it may be useful.
Yeah.
But don't expect it to be complete. It's too small to include everything.
How do you know the book is there?
We have it. We're organizing our books now. I have at least two books like that. Another book, a similar one. Okay. It's like you all glory to Srila Prabhupada, Shiva and Bhagavatam, Hare Krishna.